And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Eternal said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Eternal scattered them, or segregated them, didn't integrate them, he segregated them, scattered them abroad on the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. They stopped it. Now I want to go back to Genesis 10 and verse 5. Well, let's see, this is talking about now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and so on. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and so on. Now, it mentions some of the sons of Japheth here, and verse 5, By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families or their races. The Bible uses the word family instead of race. A family is what you generate, as I say. Two Japanese married will produce a Japanese child, of which we may call the yellow race and not the Caucasian race. Two Caucasians or whites will produce a white. Two blacks will produce a black. But it was after their families, after their races, in their nations. Now the sons of Ham, and he begins to give them, and I won't go into those genealogies now, but there were a good many there. Now, at the time of the flood, now let's see. Man, going the way he chose, wanted to amalgamate and integrate the races. Now, the time of the flood again. Noah was righteous in his generations, plural, not his generation, meaning in his ancestry. Noah, the sixth chapter of Genesis, just a minute, I'll have it here. Let's read this again. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. He wasn't perfect in himself spiritually, or anything of that kind. He was only perfect in generations or his ancestry. He was the same strain that he had been. And if you want to check it all the way through and his ancestry on down, you'll find Noah was white. Noah's wife was white. And apparently he was the only man left that was pure white. He had not mixed the strain. The family had remained intact, as God had decreed that it should. But the others were not, and they had intermarried, and interracial brought racial trouble, and they had racial violence and other violence in those days, and we're back to the same thing today. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is today, and that's exactly where we are today. Now, let's get to something after the flood. After the flood in Genesis 10. Verses 31 and 32. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, or in their race. family, race. The Bible uses the word family instead of race, usually. These are the families of the sons of Noah, families or races of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. All right. Abraham was of the family of Noah, and Abraham was white. God called Abraham and told him to leave his family where he was, the people of all his race or his family or his color or whatever you want to call it, and go to the land he would show him. In that land were people poaching there that didn't belong there, and God had never given it to them, and God intended to get that land because it is the geographical center of the earth, and it is a marvelous land for climate. And once again, when God restores it like it used to be, it'd be a land of milk and honey, which it is not exactly today. But it's marvelous what has happened to it since the Israelis went back there. And the part that they have is rich in agriculture already, whereas other parts that are occupied by Arabs are not. But Abraham went to a land that God showed him, and it was the promised land that God was going to promise to him. Now God said to Abraham in that land that he would give it to his children forever. That is the promised land. But at that time, there were the Canaanites there, and they were black, not white. All right. Abraham finally had a son of his own through Sarah, and the time came to select a wife for Abraham's son. So he sent this older servant, which was really the manager of all of his properties and over all of his other servants, which he had many. He sent him to his own family, where his family lived, to select a wife for Isaac. Isaac must not, he said, well, let me read that. Let me see. I think I had that marked here. I guess I didn't. It's Genesis 24. In the first four verses of Genesis 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And if you trace the genealogy, Abraham was of the same strain as Noah, from Shem, right on down. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Eternal, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the, shall not take a wife of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go to my country and to my kindred, his family, his race, that are all of the same race, and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now some people will say that when Ezra and Nehemiah caused people who had intermarried with another race to send their wives and even their children born back away from them and divorce them and put them away. They said, yeah, but that was because of their wrong religion. Oh, no, it wasn't. Abraham sent over to his kindred of his color, but they were of a different religion. And so a little later, you will find Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who had worked for Laban for a long time, you know, and when he left Laban, his wife Rachel stole the idols from her father Laban and carried those little idols with her. And Laban came after to find them, said that they were his gods. So they were worshiping a different god over there. But Abraham sent to get someone of that race, of that color, of that family, for a wife for Isaac, even though they were of a different religion. But I think they got God's religion once Rebekah came over. She got God's religion through Abraham and through Isaac. So you can't say that the only reason for not marrying in other races is that it means that you'd be going into a different religion. That's not the reason. Rachel was of a different religion than knowing God, and she stole those gods when they fled. Now the ancient nation Israel is called the family of Israel. They were a family, and they were of that race. I have traced it down, and I find that God kept that family pretty well intact all the way down through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and down into the children of Israel. And they didn't mix with the Egyptians. They were in a country of their own, geographically segregated, the land of Goshen, and not with the rest of Israel. And they were making brick and things that were carried over to the Egyptian part of the land, and not the same at all. Now let's look and see what we're going to be in the time of the millennium. Let's look into Zechariah. Zechariah 14, beginning with verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all of the nations or families or races which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up to keep of all of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if a family of Egypt, or race, there again it's a family, the family of Egypt, go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Eternal will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations or families that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that's what it'll be like in the millennium when God is ruling. Now, one of us in the church, God said that in Abraham would all the families, all the races of the earth be blessed in Christ. One race has just as much chance and just as much blessing in Christ as any other. Race is only a matter of generation, of begetting children. That's the main thing, and that's why the marriage is so important. God is not the author of discrimination. We should love one another, and in God's church we've been trying to do that. But we find this racial prejudice, and which gets down to hatred if you don't squelch it before it gets that far. It keeps cropping up every once in a while. I'm sorry, I don't like to have to get back to it again like I did about 15 years ago or 20. But I see that it's coming out again. And we're going to have to get back to it. Now in the resurrection and in the world tomorrow, how many of us will be black and how many of us will be white, brethren, and how many will be yellow? If we're in the kingdom of God, not one of us will be, any one of those. Our faces will shine as bright as the sun. What's the color of the sun? That'll be the color of your faces and your skin, or maybe not your whole body, but there isn't going to be a matter of color at all. You know why? What about sex in the millennium? There won't be any. There won't be men, there won't be women. We won't have sex. We'll be as the angels in heaven. So said Jesus Christ. Sex is a matter now of generation, but it has nothing to do with coming to God through Christ and gaining eternal life and getting into the kingdom of God. It has to do with the raising of children, and God wanted the races kept separate. Now we have different color of roses. We have different varieties in a lot of things. There are different varieties of horses, different varieties of cows, different varieties of dogs. And different varieties can interbreed. But if you're a stock raiser and you're raising stock for display and to win a prize at a stock show, you're not going to mix the breed. It'll be a thoroughbred or pureblood or whatever you want to call it. And that's the way it ought to be with us. Race is only something that has nothing to do with your salvation. It has only to do with reproduction. Now that's why when you integrate, you get in danger of interracial marriage. We have integration in Ambassador College here. And this college was going so far over to Satan's way that we had an interracial marriage here. I don't know, was it 1 year ago or 3 years ago, something like that. And one man who was one of our leading ministers endorsed it and was going to perform that wedding. I understand he backed out at the last minute, and the couple, of course it was a black man and a white woman, they went over to Las Vegas and got married over there. God is not in favor of interracial marriage. God is not in favor of discrimination either. But marriage and the reproduction of children is another thing altogether. Now this church has done everything it could for the black people. We've tried to have no discrimination of any kind. You know how the college in Brigantwood ever got started? I went over there in 1969. We had outgrown the office. We had to get a bigger office in London. And at the time I had the idea, because we had not yet gone to integration in the college, but we wanted to do what we could for our black people. Because they weren't in the church, but we had not accepted them in the college just because we were afraid it would lead to interracial marriage. But they were accepted in the church. And one thing I wanted was an office that would be in the kind of a property where we could also have a school for black men, since we couldn't accept them at Ambassador College. Because I thought a lot about them, and I didn't want to discriminate, and I wanted to give them every opportunity that the white men have. And that is, as ministers. And we were only thinking of men only at that time, because we were only thinking of a school for ministers. Actually, what we found, we ran across the place we did, and when we saw that, we said, well, God wants a whole liberal arts college over here. He led us to a property for an entire big college, not just a little small place. We had found a little place that would have taken care of the kind of a little school. I thought of only having about 35 students. And we found a small place that would have taken care of that, the office and 35 students and the school. But it led to an entire college. that's what we had in mind at the time. Now, in the millennium, there's going to be one pure language so that all nations can worship God, but they're going to be segregated geographically in their own different places. Now, if you turn to Ezra, Ezra 10, beginning in verse 3, I believe it is. No, 23. In those days also, saw I Jews that were had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, but could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and God had divided them in order to divide their languages, in order to divide the nations geographically. I contended with them, and I cursed them, and I smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, "You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, or take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by those things? Yet among many nations there were no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." Well, anyway, Ezra and Nehemiah just simply caused them to divorce those wives, send them away. And they were the ministers of God. And that is the way of God. Now, there's a great deal more to this. I only wanted to give you just sort of a foundation and a background today. But we're going to have to go into this. This church still has a little leaven to clean up and get out of our house. But we've been getting it out, and we're going to continue getting it out. And we're going to continue right along from now. So that's as much as I'm going to take time for today. But I'm going to write more on this, God willing. I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep this up at this temperature that I have. Sore throat, head cold, and everything doesn't leave. It's being very difficult, but I'm fighting through and trying to keep going. I hope you understand. I'm not up to par at all. I'm speaking to you, and I'm way below par. But God has given me the truth in my mind just the same, and I hope that you're getting it, brethren. I'm doing the best I can, and I don't know how I can do much more. Thank you very much.